Today's episode of J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, is brought to you by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit.
A musical adventure. New artists, new musicians, and everyone involved in the world of music. Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, this is J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, with your host, Jamie Rodriguez. Let's find out what we have this episode.
Welcome to a brand new episode of J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, guys. We hope you guys are doing great, and we are getting ready to sail next week on the Midland Cruise. So, if you are not following on our socials or you're new to our show, this would be a great time to follow us at J-Rod Concerts Media on TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, you name them. And we'll be talking to a bunch of people on the boat. The lineup includes Midland, obviously, Orville Peck, Caitlin Butts, Madeline Edwards, Silverada, which used to be Mike and the Moon Pies, Steven Wilson Jr. It's going to be a good time. So definitely, there's going to be some adventures and interviews there. So make sure you follow us. But for today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, we are thrilled to have a really great Americana band, Driftwood. Driftwood, a great band based out of upstate New York, recently released their new record, December Last Call, which finds them kind of returning to their roots. They've been around for 15 years, so it's like a reflection showcasing the evolution of the band. It's been a critical favorite since it came out. No Depression, Holler, Glide Magazine, Americana Music Association, everyone's raving about it. And it was a great conversation here on the show. We were so thrilled to have the band. There's a performance at the end. So certainly thrilled to have them on. Make sure you check their latest album, December Last Call. And they are going to be on the road. So for tour dates and all that goodies, driftwoodtheband.com. So let's get on with it. Driftwood on J-Rod Concerts, the podcast.
Look at you guys. Look at Driftwood in all its glory.
Most of its glory.
Most of its glory. Where are you guys coming from right now? Where are you guys located?
We are in my apartment in Binghamton, New York.
Okay, amazing, amazing. How's the weather up there? Because we're getting pounded in Nashville.
It's very good. Yeah, do you guys have that snow in the background?
Yeah, but there's a difference. He upstate New Yorkers, like, you guys know what to do. We don't know what's going on. Yeah, right. You know, there's crashes everywhere. All that stuff. So
we have had a couple snowstorms too, and it's about like 10 degrees today. So
amazing. Well, you guys are well suited for it, but. Guys, so glad to have you. Obviously, that new album, December Last Call, it's coming out on March 22nd. Got a chance to preview it, and it is so, so, so good, guys. So it's a pleasure to meet you all.
Thank you.
Absolutely, guys. So, guys, let me start with this. I mean, this album, I mean, it took a minute to get across the finish line. I mean, 2 years of starts and stops, like you guys said. Obviously, COVID there in the middle, recording sessions that went up until, like, last year, really. I guess the question, I mean, for a lack of a better way to say it, is why was it so challenging to get this particular album across the finish line?
That's a great question.
Great question.
That's a really good question.
Yeah. I'll take part of that. I think, first of all of them always feel like that. You know, even though they don't always take that much time, they always feel like there's this crazy push. Even our last one we recorded in like 10 days, I think, but we didn't put it out for a year and change after that because of business stuff. So they all kind of have that feeling, but this one, I think it was COVID. We had all kind of gone into our own bubbles, and when we started coming back from it, it was really tough to find scheduling time.
Sure.
You know, and there was so many other little things about it. I think it's just tougher now where we're at in our lives. It's a tougher thing to physically just get everyone together and make it all work. So that was a big part of it. And then also, I think we just, we weren't settling for, you know, just it's done kind of mentality. We wanted to make sure it was done the right way. So that was part of it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Very well said. I don't know if anyone wants to add anything else there.
I typically find creative projects take twice as long as you think they will. Mm. And it's so funny because it's so consistent and it sounds crazy, but I remember saying this is going to take us 2 years. Like, I don't totally remember that.
Like a joke. You were like joking.
I was like half kidding, but like knowing how these things go, you know, we've done this enough to where it's like you expect it to be like, oh, this should be pretty quick. But yeah, it took 2 years almost on the nose. You know, we'd also like Dan sort of mentioned, we didn't want to settle, right? So we kind of like, you know, we tried recording everything live. We listened to it and thought we should take a different approach. So we kind of recorded the album twice in a way. So that's really like the process just takes a while. But that's what it is.
No, I love it. But it came out great. I mean, the engineering's great. All the details are perfect. So it was worth the time. One of the things that, you know, shines on it, I think, is kind of like the recording process. You can hear that it was recorded in a garage, and I mean that, you know, as a compliment. Why, you know, with all the recordings, you guys recorded your last album in a great recording studio, you know, like the ones here in Nashville. Why did you guys decide to go back to your roots, you know, specifically like when Dan and Joe started the band, and kind of go back to that like garage setting?
Well, I think one reason it goes back to the scheduling was so challenging, but also, you know, we recorded it in a beautiful setting with a great producer and a great engineer, put out a great product and found ourselves in a great amount of debt. And it took a large portion of the pandemic to get out of that debt. And so we didn't want to do that again. So we felt that we could take the things that we had learned from that process and also from the other four albums we had created and make this one.
Yeah, well said, Claire. By the way, Claire, you know, you're a mom, and I know you guys as well as our fathers, and like you're at a different point in your life. You're not who you were when you started the band, if you will. I'm curious, like, how not the creative process is, but, you know, let's say Claire is driving and she gets an idea in her head, or Joe or Dan, like, and maybe when you're young, you can like stop and be like, I want to develop that idea. But now you have kids in the back, maybe you're running errands. How does that kind of work as a non-parent? I'm just curious as an artist, if you get an idea, but you're like in the middle of mommy duty, how, like, what happens there?
You pull out your handy dandy cell phone and you hate the little recording, and then you get to it when you can. And if it's really sticking with you, it's going to be in the forefront of your brain to pull out the guitar or whatever instrument and work on that. And so it'll be a little bit more of a priority. If it's something that you're like, okay, that was cool. But so, you know, sometimes you just can't get it out of your head, right? So the kids go down to bed and you're like, you're not too tired because your aunt, you got that idea. But other times you're like, I think that was cool, but I'll just try another time. And sometimes that also is nice to give it space, to have an idea and get that space. You come back later, like, oh, I kind of forgot about this, but this is cool. Let me see where this goes. So,
yeah.
Or you do a very similar thing.
That last part that you touched on really resonates with me, because it's nice to have that time. Well, sometimes it's rushed because you're like, oh man, I was right in the middle of this thing, but I got to drop it. But then it forces you to have time, forces you to put it down. And I realize now that I probably spent so much wasted time over the years beating something to death when I didn't need to. You know, I could have just had a kid kicking me in that head, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saying, Dad, you're spending way too much time on
that. Nice can be good. That was one of the most frustrating things becoming a parent was just finding that I didn't have the time for these things. I would get so frustrated when I would pick up the guitar and then somebody would need something. And, so now I don't really try to pick up the guitar when they're there. Just do it later.
Yeah. Yeah, very well. So very, very interesting. But yeah, I mean, that's the way to do it. Joe, Dan, if you guys don't mind, I know you've told this story a million times, but for my audience that may not be acquainted yet with you guys, how did you guys meet, number one? And I mean, it's kind of a miracle that you guys are still, you know, homies and like still together creatively and as brothers. How have you been able to kind of like sustain that, you know?
Wow. Yeah, that's deep. Yeah, it's crazy because I think there's a big part of Driftwood that is just built on friendship, you know. Just coming back to do this album, I think we all are friends, you know. When we get together, that really shines. But you know, I definitely think that there is, you know, there's ups and downs just like any other thing. But if we were just all business through, you know, when we started the band or at any point, really just all business, it wouldn't last. You know, just wouldn't work that way. Because there's so much sacrifice, I think, involved, and any musician knows that. There's so many things like that involved that to have that foundation be on friendship, I think that really allowed us to just move through whatever.
So we met in high school, and we actually weren't friends initially, but we went to the same guitar teacher, and that sort of gave me the clue that, like, oh, this guy that I'm not really friends with is also into music. And it didn't, you know, initially it didn't take long to realize that we had very similar tastes, which I think is a rare and valuable thing. And then, like Dan said, the friendship sort of takes precedence over all of it, right? Like, first and foremost, like, just vibing with someone. But then underneath that, to vibe with someone and then also have similar musical tastes and similar, like, musical direction and want to, like, you know, want to make it as good as it possibly can be. And that's the same, like, we're both going for the same target. That's the rare sort of thing. And I have no idea how that happened or why, or, like, you know. But we just kind of lucked out, I guess. And, you know, that's a huge part of it, just having that thing. Because I meet a lot of musicians that, you know, I always say, like, the hardest part of being in a band is just finding people that are on the same page. It's one thing to find great players. It's one thing to find people that are, like, kind of similar. But it's really rare to find someone who you're honestly friends with and have the same musical sort of tastes. And I think that between those two things, friends and being aligned in that way, has just kept it going. I mean, and we just love it.
It's just fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's one of the most unique things about Driftwood. The fact that you guys have been together since 2005 or whatever, and it comes through in the new album. I mean, it really comes through in the songs, and I'm sure it does live. Can't wait to see you guys live. And that is something that I think not many bands have. Not many bands have, and that is something really unique and special that you guys have going on. So that's cool. That's super cool.
Thank you.
And friendship, I want to point out too, just because I think this is important too. It's not like it hasn't had, they don't have ups and downs. I feel like this is talking about more in marriages where, you know, you work on it, it goes through rough spots, people grow. Friendships are the same way.
Yeah.
The same way. And sometimes they require a little more effort or a little more forgiveness. And sometimes they don't. And everybody is very easygoing and very aware of everybody else, what kind of headspace they might be into.
Absolutely. Well said. Well, I know you guys are going to play a song for us and you guys are busy, but Claire, let me ask you this. Was it hard or was it easy, kind of like putting yourselves out there through the Kickstarter campaign? It was very successful. Everybody loves you. It was very, you know, goal achieved, if you will. But how difficult or easy was it to kind of like open your hearts and be like, you know, please help our project?
Very difficult. It was very difficult. We did, this is our third crowdfunding campaign. And they've been spread out over a lot of time, but it was a humbling experience. I felt a little bit like, you know, kind of the tail between the legs kind of thing. Like, yeah, we're still a band that needs some help sometimes. And I think that to me was sort of what I didn't like, was that we were like,
yeah,
here we are. Still need to ask for help again. But you know what? We have a fantastic fan base. They're warm, open, and very supportive. So,
and we'll set there. Well, guys, you guys have said it all. If you guys would bless us with a tune, I mean, we'd be honored for sure.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Thanks, guys.
Dan's going to record this as well, so.
Oh, cool. Cool, that as well. We'll edit this out, make it nice and smooth.
yeah, so this one it's gonna come out on the 25th. It's the second single from the album. And 25th of January coming up here in just a few weeks. And yeah, so you know, I was listening to a lot of Eric Clapton's Slow Hand when I wrote this one. Me and my wife just had it on the record player for a couple of months, it seemed like. And there was one song that I really dig on there. And so just really loving the production and stuff. And so I kind of wrote this one as an ode to that.
If you see her at Mary's place, you see her home, tell her I love her, tell her I was wrong. I know there's no sense in fighting, but can you see me shaking, man? Can't stand the thought of him holding her hand. Now I'm drowning already, brother, it's plain to see. Just send me out into the river and set this soul at ease. And if you see him at the truck stop, you see him out, tell me better keep an open eye. Yeah, best be looking out. I got a fistful of pennies, I got a heart of lead.
Unbelievable, guys. Unbelievable. My chills have chills. Ridiculous.
Right.
Thank you so much for blessing us with that, guys. And you guys are in for a wonderful year, and we can't wait to cross paths with you.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully I'll see you when we come down to Nashville.
Absolutely, guys. Absolutely. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thank you.
You have been listening to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Thank you for tuning in.